ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hello and welcome to ABC AFL Daily for your Monday. Corbin Middlemouse with you ahead of AFL Monday. There is no Mark Murphy, who is a sensational out on the team sheet. Adam Ramanauskas is in to join Ben Cameron and myself for this edition of AFL Monday. We react to the Zach Butters news that he's been referred directly to the tribunal. Ray Chamberlain, a near 400-game umpire, drops by for a chat to chop it all up. Plus, every team's played five games, so where does the competition sit? Plus, the big winners and the big losers with our Mad Monday, as always. So it's coming up right now here on ABC AFL Daily.
Siren goes! The Dockers beat the Pies at their own game! In a game of moments, it's Freo who navigate the key moments and the key minutes. The Dockers make it four on the bounce.
Oh, look, we're having really good discussions with the Premier, but we have been saying we want to make sure we get to the right deal, not a quick deal. And there's a few complexities that we've got with our competition structure with Tassie coming in 2028. So we want to make sure that we've got sort of, what is it, the I's dotted and the T's crossed before we sign it.
Spins the 360 and spots his skipper in the corridor, who brushes through Ainsworth and pulls the trigger from 50. And Jordan Dawson turns towards the Blues faithful and says, shush.
Merritt snaps on goal from the impossible angle. He's still wearing the red and the black right now.
Well, we're incredibly pleased with the result. I'm really pleased for the players to get that reward. I'm really pleased for our supporters who have been through a really tough time. You know, I'm really pleased for the club. But perspective is important. It's not like we have done anything miraculous.
On 774 ABC Melbourne,
ABC Sport Digital,
and ABC Listen,
this is AFL Monday with Corbin and Ben.
On the heels of Gather Round, we are back from Adelaide, round five done. Every team's played five games, gives us a good look at the ladder after a significant sample size. AFL Monday with Corbin and Ben on 774 ABC Melbourne. You can catch us through Sport Digital and catch up anytime through ABC Listen. Just search ABC AFL Daily, the home of your footy conversation. Five episodes each week. My name's Corbin Middlemouse. Ben Cameron is basking in the afterglow of Gather Round from the City of Churches. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Corbin. Good to be with you from Adelaide. And these foreign studios, just moments before we went to air, I've broken the mic.
Uh-oh.
So I just have to hold it. It's sort of this spanned-angled sort of flash fold-down mic, and I don't know how to have it work. So I'm just holding the mic physically.
You'll stay late, though, and make sure it gets sorted, and it's good for someone tomorrow morning. You won't just walk out and just someone else will find it.
No, I'll sort it out before I go, but I didn't have time right as we went to air.
No.
But I'm looking forward to getting Adam Ramanauskas involved here on AFL Monday. I want to start on an upswing because we've got some serious things to discuss. But just, you could have knocked me over with a feather when you told me that Mark Murphy, who was in his late 30s, wasn't available on this Monday.
Hang on. I teased this a short time ago with Justin on Drive that this is the first I've worked in the media now for nearly 20 years. First time I've ever seen on the list of outs that somebody is missing as part of our team. Brackets,
Coachella,
close brackets.
Coachella, unbelievable,
amazing.
Murph, grow
he's,
up.
Is that coach? Grow up. He's got to Coachella. Who would have thought going to America this way? You think the Masters is on, or this sort of any kind of early season baseball or something to get to? But no, he's gone to Coachella.
Or just any global nervousness, like maybe I'm not going to the US, but Murph, nope, I'm booked in to see Bieber, and I'm going there. I did note that Justin Bieber, who was headlining Coachella, at one point sort of performed for the first half of his set. In the second half, he seemingly just went onto YouTube, got up some of his old songs and had a sort of karaoke sing-along. So it did get me thinking, Corb, if you were doing an AFL live show and you decided for the second half you're going to YouTube to just look at some old Aussie Rules clips, what are you punching into the search bar?
Jeez, what am I punching into the search bar? I take it you've got an answer for this off the top of your head.
I, I think I'd go for sort of Byron Pickett's biggest hits.
Yeah.
I think that would be my go-to.
That'd be hot. What about Alan Didak's goals?
Mm.
Or Fev? Oh, that was probably my... I feel like there's always a player, like when you're a kid, that you're down at the park kicking goals from the boundary, yelling out someone's name. It was always Didak when I was a kid. There was Didak and Fev and what do you used to call it? The swamp. Get out of his way, the big croc. Fevy was he was coming through, so it's a good one. A good one to throw open. Talkback number 1-300-222-774. We've got a whole lot to chop up, and a man who joins us off the top. In for Mark Murphy, out Coachella, Adam Rabinaskas, the youngest Essendon Premiership player on planet Earth. He did say, look, I'm only coming in on a Monday if the Bombers win. He thought he was going to be off the hook for a while. Instead, you hear Romer at the end of round five. It's lovely to see.
Yes, no, and thank you very much for having me. I'll let Murph have the... his early 20 years again. I think he's going back to going to Coachella, but I'm sure he's having a great time over there. And we had a great time over in Gather Round. I thoroughly enjoyed it again for the fourth edition. And I got back a little bit early this year. I came back on the Saturday night, which is...
Responsible?
Yes, responsible. But the responsibility was that I was coaching the first round of my under-16 team yesterday.
Ooh.
Didn't go well.
Oh, no.
We had a lot out. We had a lot out that had been playing with the Calder Cannons. So it just didn't go according to plan in the second half. So we went down by about 4 goals, which is a bit disappointing. But anyway, my my youngest one, he played his first game of under-10s and was awarded best on ground. So the morning was a lot better than the afternoon yesterday.
Well,
yeah, sack the coach. You're hearing it more and more. I did think, not to be ungrateful, because we are so grateful that we get to go to Gather Round and experience it all as a work trip. It's a very expensive exercise. But what I would say is I did think when we were staying at the hotel that we stay at in Adelaide, not the most salubrious surroundings, that Mark Murphy, who's hanging out with socialites at Coachella, is living a very different lifestyle to us, flying in private jets.
There's no doubt about that. We'll have Murph next week. We'll grill him about exactly what on earth went on there. I think he's actually slated to do Thursday night. So that's a quick turnaround to come off Coachella for the Blues and the Pies. So maybe just tune in and see what we get on Thursday. The big story of the day, this is AFL Monday with Corbin and Ben, Adam Rabinaskas in studio, taking your calls 1-300-222-774. Ben, the big story of the day is obviously centred around Zach Butters and the fact that he's been referred directly to the tribunal. The charge that he's got is abusive and insulting language towards an umpire.
Yeah, so what has been alleged is that he supposedly said, how much are they paying you? You can clearly see umpire Nick Foot believe that's what he's heard, and that's what he's told the AFL that he has heard, to see this referred directly to the tribunal, paid the 50-metre penalty. Zach Butters said on Channel 7 last night that he believes he said, how did you pay that? So let's just have a listen to Zach Butters with Xander Maguire post-game on Channel 7 last night.
There was an incident in the third quarter where a 50-metre penalty was given against you. Umpire Nick Foot then said at the time that he was reporting you for language used towards him. What did you say to him, and how did that situation play out from your perspective?
Yeah, I'd love to know the language that I said, because I went up to him after the game and obviously just wanted to have a chat like any two humans do, and he said he didn't want to speak to me, and all I said is, how's that a free kick? And yeah, he gave 50 and said, I'm on report. So I had a few teammates there right next to me, Ollie Wine, so... Yeah, I'm curious to follow that one up because, I'm never going to say anything bad to the umpire. So, I just wanted to follow up and ask what he thought I said from his end. So,
there are no expletives used or anything directed at him that could have been viewed as derogatory or anything?
No, generally no swear words, no any bad language. So that's why I was curious. And, obviously a bit frustrated because it leads to a goal. And I think I'm a pretty honest bloke out there and have a good relationship with most umpires. So, I'm sure the club will deal with that.
Early to say, but if you were to be charged, you feel like you'd have a case to fight against that?
Oh, man, I'd fight for the hills because, I know what I said and I know I didn't say anything bad.
All right. The precedent on this front is Dale Thomas back in 2019. That was the last time we had a serious charge of this nature. It came back as a $7,500 fine, which he called a boundary umpire a cheat back then. So it's an issue relating to integrity with what was said here between Butters and umpire Foot.
So a few things. It's going to be another instance where we've had, or like we've had with Lance Collard, obviously different in the way that, or the incidents themselves, but it's going to be a he said incident seemingly. And I think what I would put on the agenda is that, and this is alleged at the moment, so it will have to be proved that is what Zach Butters said, but that is the worst thing you can say to an umpire, in my opinion. So you're essentially calling them a cheat. That is one of the worst things you can say to them, Ram.
So there's a couple of things here. One is the microphone that the umpire has. So they're mic'd up. So where is that at the moment?
I thought you were going to talk about the microphone Ben's got at the moment, which is...
No, well, that's okay.
Holding,
that's so. Okay. But so I imagine it would have been caught on that microphone. Now, whatever... Now, the host broadcaster has that, I'm sure. A radio station will have that as well. So what was said on that? If he's got teammates around him that actually heard exactly what he said, I think there's another point to it. Now, look, if you listen to Zach after the game, he was adamant that he didn't say anything derogative to Nick Foote. So really it's going to be his word against Nick's word, and it's going to go from there now.
Well, interestingly, in the Collard case, so it was 2-1 plus Collard had priors against him. So really that's enough almost in a court of law to be able to hold up. So he was on the wrong side of it there, Collard, in the way that played out. If Butters does have people in the vicinity that heard him and they're supporting his version of events, well, you'd think that's going to help Zach Butters going towards the tribunal.
No doubt.
He's never been charged with anything of this nature in the past. He is
the most fined player in AFL history.
Yeah, but
that's
something different. Completely different.
There's also, I think, the chance that both versions of events could be true. So we've all played the game of telephone when we're kids, for example, and you know, essentially the whispers go around the room, and you can all say something similar that's in and around the same way, and yet other people hear it differently. So I'm not saying Nick Foote didn't hear that, but I'm also not saying at the same time Zach Butters didn't say it. I know that feels like it's sort of sitting on the fence, but I think there is a scenario that this isn't going to be necessarily as black and white as what people want it to be. Did he say it? Did he not say it? I actually think there's a chance that both version of events could actually be true.
Well, I just think go to the microphone.
Yeah.
I hope that's what happens, and then we get the truth.
If only we had a 400-game umpire that was able to, a near 400-game umpire, able to come on and chat with us about all these type of issues. A man who's officiated in 3 grand finals, it's been an emergency for a boatload of others, and he's part of our team on ABC Sport. He's fresh back from Adelaide too. His name is Ray Chamberlain, and he joins us on AFL Monday with Corbin and Ben, Adam Ramanaskis in the house. Hello, Razor.
Good evening, guys. How are we this evening?
We're very well. We're just listening, or I'm sure you've been listening on to what we're chopping up, which is obviously the big story of the day. It involves an official, and you're obviously our man to lean on when issues like this arise. But first of all, what's your observation of what's taken place here?
Yeah, I think I'm listening to your lead-in and all of your views. I have a similar sentiment. I don't think there's a need to apologise for sitting on the fence, Corb, because we are yet to get all of the facts, and I think that's really important because, you know, quite often in these cases, it can sit somewhere in the middle. And Rammer's comment about the microphone and being able to get the audio, I'm certain that will be gleaned through, and hopefully that's able to clarify some odds and ends. I did find the post-game interview insightful in that it was all predicated around language and swearing.
Yep.
Now, you can abuse or insult a person and not swear. So you can, you know, in this instance, and again, it's only alleged that it's being reported about this inference of how much are they paying you. You don't have to swear in that instance to insult a person or to call into question their integrity, which is obviously a cornerstone of officiating. So I thought that was quite insightful and interesting. You don't have to swear to cross a line, but obviously the facts are yet to be determined and publicised. So we do need to have a level of caution because quite possibly, as you intimated, Corb, both parties could be really steadfast in what they believe and it sits somewhere in the middle.
So just a question about the actual nature of the insult here. So as Ben said, you know, that's about the worst thing you could possibly say to an official. How derogatory is it, I guess, in your game, Ray? Like there'd be people out there thinking, oh, what's the big deal and everything else. Is it a big deal for an official to be referred to as that by a participant in the game?
From my perspective, having sat in that chair for 20 years, there's nothing worse outside of vilification that you could say to a match day official. And I try to provide like a game, like a player context. Like if you pick the guy off the ball from a blind spot and pick them off and hurt him and knocked him out or whatever, like that's considered to be a bit of a cheap shot or a bit of a dog act or whatever. umpires are not allowed to go back. I would get in so much trouble, even just for standing my ground and saying, don't talk to me like that. And I'd cop it from the AFL umpiring department for, you know, saying too much and, you know, have a thicker skin or, you know, go through official channels or what have you. So the umpires aren't in a position where they're able to say anything back. And that's probably, I think, a really great thing for the game. And so as a result, I don't think it's right. And I'm not suggesting Zach did say this. Again, it has to be proven yet, right? But more broadly, calling an umpire a cheat or making that inference is as poor a thing as you can say to an umpire.
So, Ray, am I right in saying that the mics are always on in a game on the umpire? So how far Zach Butters was away from umpire Nick Foote would have any of the language or any of the comments being picked up by the microphone?
Yeah, look, they are always on. I know there have been instances over the last couple of years where players have been sanctioned for words said on the field, and the words themselves weren't picked up, but say the response from those around who did hear the words, they were picked up. So what you'd hope that whatever was said between them is there. So that will remove all doubt, which will be great for everyone. But it's not 100%.
Mm. It's going to be a fascinating case as to how all this pans out, and we'll get to hear it, which I think is the right place for it, that it goes to the tribunal and both guys can tell their version of events.
Absolutely.
Hopefully we've got some audio that will support that, and we'll see how it pans out once it heads to the tribunal. This is AFL Monday with Corbin and Ben. Adam Ramanaska's in the house and Ray Chamberlain with us online.
Ray, just very quickly from me, I think there's a lot of people online who feel like they're playing internet detective at the moment, and they're pointing out the fact that Nick Foote works for Sportsbet. This is not something that I have a problem with. I think he's a part-time umpire. He has to be able to go and earn a crust in a full-time job. But it is something that a lot of people online are speaking about. How do you react to those comments from the broader public, I guess?
Yeah, it's a topic that has had an enormous amount of interest. I think what's really important is people can hold views about gambling and the level, you know, the how much of it, you know, the advertising and, you know, all of those sorts of things and the impact that that has more broadly on the community, and that's one discussion. I think in this instance, what I would say is that Nick's job is not a secret to the AFL. Nick's contractual obligations, like every other field umpire, are that he is not permitted to bet on any level of football at any time whilst he's contracted as an AFL field umpire. And so I'm certain that he has never stepped outside of those things, because the AFL would be all over that, for sure. So you can have your own philosophical position around gambling more broadly within the community and the impacts that it has. That's fine. And, you know, you can have that debate, and that's one thing. But in terms of Nick, and is he meeting his contractual obligations and acting in accordance with them? Yeah. He absolutely is. And so that's an entirely different matter altogether. And so, as you say, people going, oh, he works for Sportsbet, oh, congratulations. You know, like that is not a secret.
Mm. I wonder if it, yeah. I wonder what role it plays in all of it. I mean, I'm probably with you. I'm probably thinking that it's on the minor end. But maybe it does, you know, and what I'm saying is, you know, maybe both versions of events are true. Maybe it makes him more heightened to, you know, sensitivities than perhaps other umpires would be when it comes to questions about integrity, because these issues are constantly held against him. But
yeah. I think well, you know, I can't. I've never walked a step in your shoes, Corbin. I've never walked... Yeah. in Nick's, but obviously his position has been on public record by high-level political figures within you know, newspaper and TV, and that's a lot to carry for anyone to be put in that position. But Nick knows that he's made those choices, which is entirely legally, rightfully allowed to do, and he has to conduct himself within the parameters of those things. So I think it's fair. A debate around, you know, is it a good look, isn't it? That's one thing. I just wanted to highlight, though, that contractually absolutely. And legally, he's absolutely colouring between the lines.
Ray, appreciate your insights as always. Thanks for jumping on.
Have a great night, guys.
Ray Chamberlain, near 400 game umpire, 389, three grand finals, It feels like we're always more in line when we chat to Ray, aren't we, about issues when it comes to umpiring.
I love working with Ray. Yep. I really do. Never thought I would like working with an umpire, but we got off to, look, it's fair to say we got off to a little bit of a rocky start, Ray and I, last year, but now it's great. I love it.
Now look at you. You're sharing instances like Bacongate at breakfast over the course of the weekend. It was all happening. But I totally agree with what Ray said there about umpire Nick Foote. And so we're not allowed to bet on football on the day of a game that we are working at. Umpires are not allowed to bet on it, period. No. So I think it would be highly hypocritical of the AFL if they accepted sports bet money in sponsorship and betting money in sponsorship, and then they told someone who is a part-time employee that because of their vocation as an umpire, it wouldn't be fitting for them to work for that company, wouldn't it? So this would be a situation that the AFL would be significantly disliking at the moment, because it is Nick Foote. He does work in that industry, and a lot of people are highlighting it online, which they would just be hating at the moment, you would imagine.
Let us know what you think. 1-300-222-774. Zach Butters off to the tribunal to have the case heard. So he's been charged, just repeating, with abusive and insulting language towards an umpire. 1-300-222-774 AFL Monday on 774 ABC Melbourne and across the state of Victoria. Corbin and Ben with Adam Ramanaskis in the house. So we're five games down. Every team's played five games. The ladder makes a little bit of sense for the first time in just over a month. There's been a lot of talk about different tiers and how the competition's sort of broken off into its different sections of those that are contending for the premiership, those that are in the next bracket, and then those that are perhaps out of it completely. How do you see it, Ben? How are you chopping it up at this stage?
Oh, I think we see this a bit differently, don't we? Because I'm fascinated to hear where Rama sits. But I think the top six as it sits on the ladder at the moment is the clear top six.
Sydney, so, Fremantle, Hawthorn, the Bulldogs, the Suns, and the Lions.
Yeah, so the Lions' best might be the best of the lot of them, but I think that is clearly the best six teams in the competition. Are you coming with me on that, Rama?
Not quite, no. I think Geelong are still thereabouts somewhere. I'd probably Geelong is the one that I would consider.
So we spoke about this.
Consider, if we're seeding them, would you have them above any of those teams? Or you would?
I would, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think I'd have them before the Suns, and I'd have them before the Bulldogs. I feel like with Geelong, that it feels like we've been proven wrong by them so many times that you default because you know what you're going to get. With those other teams, you kind of want to see it first. Like, you want to see the Suns mature and win some of those games that they've let go the last couple of weeks. Same with the Bulldogs to a lesser extent, although injuries are obviously crawling them at the moment, but... Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you, Ram. I got the Dogs in my my top tier teams.
Yeah, and you look at Adelaide from last year; they finish on top. GWS, are starting to get some players back. Collingwood's an interesting one. I think they're going to sort of teeter for the remainder of the year.
So this is how I got it, Ram. I got seven teams in the top tier, which is the top six plus Geelong.
Yep.
I've got six teams in the middle tier competing for the last three spots, which is North, Melbourne, so North Melbourne plus Melbourne.
Yep.
Adelaide, GWS, Collingwood, and St Kilda. And then I've got five teams in the bottom bracket, which I'm already putting a line through, which includes a team that's currently 10th, Port Adelaide, West Coast Carlton, Essendon, Richmond. Mm. Any disagreements there?
No, I agree with your bottom five wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
I've got to watch on Collingwood.
Okay.
They're not going anywhere near what they have been over the last couple of years, obviously. I think...
It's your own worry about them not even getting in the wildcard spot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Mm.
A lot of people did have them sliding before the season began. They can't score at the moment, can they, Rama? Like, no. How do they fix that?
Wow. Look, they've always been ultra efficient with going inside forward 50 and scoring. I think clubs have picked up on that, obviously. So it's more now, well, let's sit a number back. Let's sit a winger back that plays almost as a seventh defender. Then their ball movement was their other ace up, always up their sleeve, where they could go to that at any time and score. Now, again, teams are stifling their ball movement. So that's why they're just finding it incredibly hard to score at the moment.
I like this one off the SMS, by the way. Best way to get in touch with us is to give us a call, 1-300-222-774. Mark Murphy at Coachella. I'll take him to a real festival, not these glamping Instagram pics that I'm sure are coming. LOL from Dax. So So he's into Murph, which we all are here. He catches a lot of flack on our team. Just recapping, the biggest story in footy tonight is the fact that Zach Butters has been referred directly to the tribunal. He's been charged with abusive and insulting language towards an umpire. It's alleged that he said to the umpire, "How much are they paying you?" with the dispute with Nick Foot. Now, he says that he didn't say it. He'll get his date at the tribunal later this week. Meanwhile, Ray Chamberlain, the near 400-game umpire, offered us a little insight and provided some context around it all and around the allegation.
The umpires aren't in a position where they're able to say anything back, and that's probably, I think, a really great thing for the game. And so as a result, I don't think it's right. And I'm not suggesting Zach did say this. Again, it has to be proven yet, right? But more broadly, calling an umpire a cheat or making that inference is as poor a thing as you can say to an umpire.
Other big stories of the day, Jacob Farrow's the rising star for round 5, which we love to see. So the Bombers get a rising star nom there after ending their 17-game losing skid. Mark O'Connor's been offered a one-week ban for his bump on young Willem Dersma. And Dev Robertson, that's not good news. ACL. So he's out for the year after that that contact yesterday in the game at Norwood. Ben, we're back from Gather Round. Well, Rammer and I are back. You're in Adelaide. But Gather Round ends with no new deal. Is that a big deal or not, that there's no deal in place as the round comes to an end?
Yeah, I think it's a big deal because traditionally they've announced it at the Norwood Good Food and Wine Festival out there in that game on the Sunday of Gather Round, and they've come together and said, look, we're renewing the deal. You're never more likely to book your next trip than immediately after you've just been there and loved it, or you have FOMO. Like, you're sitting in Melbourne and thought, I want to do that. I want to be there and I want to be a part of that. So however long it takes in that period, there's going to be families. I mean, you're not coming over and going to Gather Round for less than $3,000, which in the current landscape is not insignificant. Well, it's really significant, I would say. So if something comes up for families between now and the next few weeks or whenever it's announced, they might choose to do something else around Easter time next year. And that might mean that there are a few more people who don't come over. So I think it's a big deal.
Well, we spoke about this a lot on Thursday night around the leverage and then again on Saturday. And who's got... So I feel like it's a bit of a Mexican standoff at the moment between the two of them. So who's going to blink first? Adelaide know they've got... the environment to have gather around. They've done such a good job of it over the past 4 years. But the AFL also know they've got the product. Now, you can have the place, but you need the product to come. So the crowds were the biggest that they have ever been, which is enormous. They had 25 mils of rain over the weekend in Adelaide, and they were still able to get the crowds there.
Ground held up well too.
Ground held up fantastically. Peter Malinauskas, my long-lost cousin, wants to continue to invest in infrastructure, so they want a longer deal. The AFL is sitting there going, well, we're not sure yet because we don't know how fixtures are going to look when Tasmania come in. So it might be a two-year deal with a two-year option or something along those lines, I think.
David Astle coming up next, by the way, on ABC Radio across Victoria. So Celebrity Encounters, and it's games night tonight. So that's next with David Astle here on ABC Radio. Anything else on that, Ben, to add?
No, just listen to the manager, Adam Romanaskis. Two-year deal with a two-year option.
Yeah. Well, it sort of makes the most sense, I think. So, but I'm going, well, South Australia want a longer-term deal. They want to lock this whole thing in and then, you know, invest money that way. The AFL are going, well, we simply can't do that yet.
I know you spoke about this on ABC AFL Daily yesterday, Ben. 5 conversations a week available through the podcast store. But I actually want to see the Adelaide Uni side as well. I'm with Ben. I want to see that become a little pop-up ground, because imagine the aerial shots where you've got all your footy fans in one space, basically other side of whatever that main road is, King William. You essentially got, on that side of the street, you've got one little pop-up venue. The other side's Adelaide Oval, both going at the same time. So I know there's a push from McLaren Vale and to show other parts of the state. I'm the other way. I want everyone in one spot, all 18 teams, basically in the same precinct that essentially they're all there together. I think they can do something pretty funky with that. Before we get to our Mad Monday, you can join in, by the way, 1-300-222-774, our Mad Mondays, with Rammer today, who's in for Mark Murphy, Corbin and Ben on AFL Monday. Big winners from the weekend, Ben. Just let's fly through a couple. I actually thought there's a list as long as your arm, and usually we sit here on a Monday and we're all grouchy and a bit grumpy from the weekend, and there's, you know, all these negative things going on in the game. I actually found it hard this week to come up with too many negatives. I thought the list of good things out of Gather Round was lengthy.
Yeah, I've got, as my big winner, Ginny spreads his wings. And what I mean by that is Jack Ginnivan up on the wing. I'm loving this from Hawthorn. So team high, equal team high, 28 disposals. Kick to goal, 19 kicks, 6 inside 50s, 5 goal assists, which means the last disposal before the goal was kicked, and 10 score involvements, which means some kind of involvement in the passage that leads to a goal. It makes sense to me. I mean, I think people misconstrue Jack Ginnivan as a little bit of a rebel. I think he's a footy nerd, and he has a high footy IQ. I mean, he's got good skills, but he's not fast. He's not overly big. So clearly, to succeed, Ram, he has to have good footy IQ. Otherwise, you just don't at AFL level.
No, I think that's very evident for all to see. You know, he makes great decisions on the ground. He seems to pop up in critical moments. He's one of the score involvement kings for Hawthorn. So, not pigeonholing himself, or Hawthorn not pigeonholing him just as that forward, now coming up the ground and showing some versatility and game awareness, I think's been really good for him.
Give us one, Ram. What was the big winner from the weekend?
Oh, I think the Bombers.
Yeah.
For the first time, I think, in a long time, you can see what Brad Scott has been trying to do with the team, and that made me incredibly excited, particularly that second half. They hung in there the first half, but were playing good football, but the second half, it all come together. And I think a lot of Essendon supporters that have been scratching their heads for a long time now walk away from that game, whether they were there live or watching it on TV, going, I can see it now.
Mm. Yep.
And you said in your speech to Sullivan Roby, Rammer, down in the rooms, you said, yeah, I can see what Brad is trying to do, and we saw it on Saturday. Who was your winner, Corb?
The Bombers big time. Pressure on the ball as well, which has been a long time. If you said to me they were 19 points down, and then they were going to kick 12 of the next 13 goals and look like that. At the same venue where 3 weeks earlier they looked unrecognisable from that particular stage. I just want to play that, Ben. Adam Ramanaskis presenting the jumper to Sullivan Roby. This is how it went, as appeared on the Essendon socials, and it's been shared, by the way, by us on ABC Sport. So you can find the vision to go along with these words.
Just quickly, firstly, congratulations to you, Sully, and obviously the family as well. It's a very, very special occasion. I can see what the club are doing. It's very, very exciting what's happening now. As Burnsy said, the fourth people come this season, but there's been many more. I think there's been 21 over the last couple of years that have the boot for this club. So the club's going in the right direction. Now you're going to be a huge part of it. That jumper that your dad's holding, those colours mean an awful lot to an awful lot of people. That number means a hell of a lot to me. Make it yours now, mate. Go for it.
It was a great speech, and then he looks ready-made, doesn't he, Sullivan Roby? Is that the first one you've done, or have you done other jumper presents?
No, that's the first one I've done, so I was actually a little bit nervous going. I think it's a real player's space before the game, and you know they're there to prepare for the game in hand, and to have somebody come in the room, yeah, and the players have to stand around and all that sort of stuff. But look, it was pretty special being able to present the number 9 jumper, so... look, I think he's going to be a star. I really do.
Do you feel like it gives you a little bit more interest in his career? I mean, not just the fact he's wearing number 9, but you'll always have that, I guess, in common with him now.
Yeah, but any of the guys. So Brent Prismal took it after me, and then it was Brendan Goddard, then Dylan Scheel. So you always track your number. I'd heard a few of the other speeches that the guys had did to debutantes, and I thought they probably went just a little bit too long, so I just wanted to get mine to be short and sweet and get to the point. And look, a lot of people have said since, and I didn't realise the impact that it would have, but they were really happy that I said about the colours and what they mean to a lot of other people. I think what happens is players at times can get the blinkers on and just think about themselves, but you know, football clubs, they're big, wide beasts they are, and there's a lot of people that support football clubs, so it's important for players to recognise that.
There was another part in there where Sullivan Roby's dad referenced that it wasn't that long ago that as a young Essendon fan, he was kicking the socks around the corridors pretending to be Zach Merritt. Mm. Zach loved it. I was in the rooms with you, and he was he was happy with it.
That's
the boys
awesome.
Got around him, and he commented on Sullivan Roby's Instagram post saying corridor football or something like that, referencing it. Just quickly, I do know that Kane Corns presented Dan Houston with his jumper at Port Adelaide.
Yep.
Saw him a few weeks later at Glenelg and introduced himself to Dan Houston. So just don't do that, Rammer, if you see Sullivan Roby around the place.
Just while I'm in a good mood, because I am, I've got lots of things that on my list of positives from the weekend.
Yeah, I've got a couple more.
I'm going to race through these. You tell me if you disagree with any of them. Fremantle.
Oh, huge positive.
Yeah. Massive. Like, they kicked 3 goals in 4 minutes in the third quarter, and then they kicked 2 goals in 3 minutes in the last quarter. They were the only goals they kicked in the second half. And yet when the game was there to be won, they did it. They went and won the game. Oh, I thought there was a lot in that.
Can I jump in with a big loser there? Collingwood's, or the Magpies' mystique around close games is just fading.
Yeah, I agree.
Last 5 games decided by a kick or less, they are 1-4 in those games. They're not the masters of the close finish like they once were.
Well, because, Benny, on that, they've actually taught teams how to play those final moments now. So we know it's a copycat industry. Mm. So if you've got more talent than the opposition, you're generally going to win those games. Collingwood, in those tighter games, would take the ball off the line constantly. And now you see what clubs are doing, and Collingwood just can't defend it at the moment.
Saints, Norwood Oval, it's awesome. The jumpers, I actually thought the gather-round jumpers kind of worked. Yep. The attendance record, so pure, huge numbers despite everything going on in the world. Rankin, Silvani, I've got...
Rochelle.
Gordon, who's having shoulder reconstruction, he's off in Europe.
Yep.
You're getting a freshen up. I like that. I think that's a positive. That's a big win. And the other one is Max King. He's close to returning, which the good news gets better for St Kilda.
Well, I'll see that when I believe. I'll believe it when I see that, sorry.
And then I don't want to take all the credit for Essendon's win, but maybe just if we're dividing up the credit, maybe just give me a little slice of the pie, because I said this time last week, there is a chance that the Dreamtime game could have Richmond playing Essendon where both teams are 0-10, and 1 week later, here we are with an Essendon victory.
I think you forgot on the good as well, Elijah Sardis.
Yeah.
I was very happy for that young man.
I agree.
Me too.
He's taken a lot of criticism, and to come out and kick a goal and have 29 disposals, he looked like he can play at the level. So give him another month, give him 6 weeks, and let him play now.
All right, now the fun bit. What are you mad about from the weekend of footy? 1-300-222-774, our Mad Mondays with Rammer. Do you want to get us going, Ben, or should I start with Ram?
Yeah, I feel like everyone's been a bit shy today. Maybe the footy not being in Melbourne, they're just checked out for a week. The AFL, or the ARC's intervention, it feels like there's too much of it. So I would like to know when the communication is happening between the ARC and the umpires. Is the ARC telling them, just wait, we'll have a look at that one? I'm talking about last disposal out of bounds between the ARCs. I would like to know whether it is then coming in after they have a little bit of a chat about what has taken place, because I just think it's too much at the moment, whatever it is. So I'd like some clarification. I'm mad about that.
Yeah, that was one of mine. I was incredibly mad on Thursday night, just with how many times that happened where the ball went out of bounds and then the umpires come together to have a conversation. We're trying to take time off the clock, not add time. And that just, I would love to speak to Greg Swan. Maybe you can do that AFL Saturday, Corb, this week around, well, how much time did that add to the clock on Thursday night? Because it seemed messy. It seemed very, very messy within that game. Now, the opening couple of rounds, I hadn't noticed it at all, but Thursday night, big time. Every time that ball went out and it was controversial, and I get we've got the technology and we want to get it right, but throw the ball in. Like a lot of them, over the weekend I saw probably on 6 or 7 occasions where a defender just spoiled the ball out of bounds on purpose. If it just runs off somebody's foot accidentally,
yes,
that can't be last touch.
So this is interesting. What do we want that to be? 1-300-222-774. That's 1-300-222-774. Our Mad Mondays with Rammer, who's in on AFL Monday with myself, Corbin, and Ben Cameron. So I think what they've tried to do is they've tried to make the perimeter the same as the goal line. So essentially, if the ball accidentally deflected off your foot and went through for a goal, it would still be a goal. So they've tried to make that consistent with the perimeter of the boundary line. The question is, do we actually want that or not? And the other thing that feels like you're not allowed to do on the boundary line that you are able to do on the goal line, if you're the defending team, you're able to rush the ball through if you're under significant pressure. We had that absurd moment with Nick Haynes the other night where he grabs the ball in the sky and lands out of play.
Yeah.
And essentially, what are they asking him to do? Whack it back in the field of play. We don't ask people on the behind line or the goal line to do that. Like, the defender doesn't have to whack it back in.
No.
So is he not meant to play the ball? Is he just meant to let it bounce out naturally? And if you let it bounce out naturally, it's the free kick to the opponent.
Yeah.
I don't know what we want him to do there.
I just didn't love Thursday night. The other one for me that I'm mad about was the Aaron Cadman concussion.
Yeah.
He kicked four goals in that game and was looking terrific. And then, look, it was a very much an accidental knee from Noah Bolter. But I feel like GWS to be any chance this year, we saw, I know, and okay, people will say it was against Richmond and the like, but getting Brent Daniels back, getting Cadman back, you know, Canelio, unfortunately, is concussed in that game also. You know, they're coming up now. They've got the Battle of the Bridge, don't they, this week? So
yeah, Friday night.
It would have been nice to, I think, for Adam Kingsley and the Giants to have a full deck of cards to shuffle.
Some couple of others. Richmond, who we've spoken a little bit about. They're the only winless team.
Well, I'm not mad at them.
Left
you can't
in the competition.
Be mad.
Do you know what I'm mad about? I'm mad about the fact that their injury list, they've had the worst injury list in the competition the last 2.5 years. And it feels like that's been masked a little bit by the fact that the Bombers' injury list was like all-time historically bad last year. But they haven't been able to get it right. They haven't been able to ultimately get their best players out there often enough.
Is that because they're incredibly young at the moment and those players are just not simply, their bodies are just simply not ready?
But whatever the reason is,
their older players are injured at the moment though, Ram.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
Lynch and Nankervis.
But whatever the reason is, ultimately, it's stalling their rebuild. Like, they're not getting games into those kids. So even they're 5 weeks into the season, they're 0-5. I wouldn't be as mad if, you know, they're 5 games in and they've got these 13, you know, high draft picks over the last 2 years and they've all got 5 games under their belt. But there's like three of them playing. Like, well, most of the kids aren't even out there.
I'll put it like this. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
That sounds like such a parental thing to say.
That's someone who said that before.
Yes.
You actually say, I reckon you've said that to me on a Saturday afternoon call, Rammer, at different stages. They have been bad this year. I mean, they lost to Carlton. That was a close game. But it was 10 goals plus, 11 goals plus against Gold Coast, 10 goals against Freo, 7 goals against Port Adelaide, and nigh on 10 against GWS. So they've been really, really uncompetitive in 4 of their 5 games and lost to another team that's going pretty poorly in Carlton.
Was it a bad look, Sean Darcy, the other night, singing the song where he looked like he was completely buzzed and in another world? He wasn't singing the songs and looked groggy. I mean, at the very least, it's a bad optics display, isn't it?
Yeah, it probably is. But like,
what are you going to do? Say, don't participate in the song?
Correct.
Yeah, I knew you were going to.
Yeah, it's sort of a hard one there. It's like, well, nah, you can't go and sing the song because... And he's like, well, I want to, and he's an adult, you know? Yeah, I know we've got to save these guys from themselves sometimes, but yeah, it's a hard one, that one.
Yeah, hopefully he's okay. He's had a little string of concussions in recent times, as has Jordan Ngoi, by the way. He missed 3 weeks last year with concussion, and now he's sidelined again on the same point. Nathan from North Melbourne. Is it time the AFL takes a stand to not allow officials, umpires to be employed by gambling companies? Yes, of course they can bet on the game, but there is that influence where something untoward could potentially happen. I'm not suggesting that anything happened in this case, but why not eliminate the risk if they can? From Nathan in North Melbourne. Well, really, I guess the counterpoint here would be, as you outlined earlier, Ben, you know, he's allowed to go and earn a living. Are they willing to say, hey, we don't want you to work there, and we're willing to pay you whatever the money is,
a full-time wage
to come and work for us instead of making whatever you're making there?
Yeah.
There's always that option. But then you can also understand the umpire in that case saying, well, I could get a catastrophic injury and then essentially I'm not umpiring anymore, or I'm sidelined, and what happens when I turn 40 and I can't do it anymore, or whatever it turns out to be. So, and then, what does he do for the next 25 years of his working life, or whatever it turns out to be?
Yeah.
1-300-222-774, the talkback number, AFL Monday with Corbin and Ben, and Adam Ramanaskis in the house on 774 ABC Melbourne and ABC Radio across Victoria.
Just a quick one as well. Just on the coaches' vote, so I've noticed the last 2 weeks of Fremantle, and I'm not very good at working out the math in this because I'm not too clever, but I try to break down the numbers, and I'm fairly certain that Alex Pearce has received 5 votes and 0 votes the last two games. So one coach has given him best on ground and the other hasn't had him in the top five. So I wonder whether that's Justin Longmuir.
No, hang on a minute. So you don't see both coaches break down a votes, Benny?
No, but you can work it out.
You can work it out roughly, you know, where the five and the one goes. And
well,
all
mate,
the
what happens if you got a three and a two?
Yeah, no, but then, it's because the way the numbers fall, you can work it out.
You can backpedal so you get a rough idea.
You just said to me you're not very good at maths though, Ben.
Yeah, I know, but you can work it out. So Luke Jackson got nine. So he can't get a 6 and 3 round, which means he got a 5 and 4.
5 and 4, yep.
Yep. Luke Ryan got 6, and Nick Dacos got 6. But we've already used a 5 and 4, so that could only be 3 and 3 for
this
both of
them. This is a
little
bit of Sudoku.
I was going to say, it's like
you've got Alex Pierce on 5. So someone else had to get another 5. We've only used 1 5 so far. So that means it has to be Alex Pierce who got the other 5 votes. So he got 5 from one and none from another. And that happened against both Collingwood and Adelaide, which I've just found fascinating.
So like letters and numbers. Remember that's a popular game.
Should we finish with our very own celebrity encounters?
Yeah, I'm happy for you to give us one. Phil, by the way, in Victoria says, guys, mad. What's a Coachella? Can't even spell it. Enlighten the listeners. So Coachella is essentially the biggest music festival in the world, isn't it? It's the one to be seen at in Palm Springs in California.
Seen at, I think, is the sort of operative word.
But huge musical acts, and I must admit, I'm not in that sort of crossover hit zone.
I don't think any of us are.
No. I'm more likely to go to WrestleMania than I am to go to Coachella, which is coming up next weekend.
That is, yes.
If I was anywhere in the US this weekend, I would have been at Augusta National watching the Masters. For sure.
Ram's got teenage sons and boys, so he's absolutely
I'm going to NBA Finals, Super Bowl. So I'm going to New Camp in Barcelona, watch soccer.
All right, give us one then, Ben. Celebrity encounter before we get out of here.
I actually don't know if I do have one, but I felt like Rammer, who's worked in the management space for a long period of time. Have you got one, Ram?
Jeez, question without notice here.
Footballers meet lots of famous people.
I bumped into Allen Iverson at Macy's the US.
Macy's in Philadelphia.
Yeah. And I was calling Corbin, who was on a different level, trying to get Corbin to come down and CAI, but his security guard was ushering me away and wouldn't give me a photo.
he is a celebrity. Curtis Stone, the celebrity chef. So he's very good mates with Dustin Fletcher and Joe Mercedi. So in Prague, we ran into him, of all places, and he was out with us the whole night.
It's a Segways game, broadcast media, and that's a perfect way for us to end the show. Safe travels home, Ben.
Thanks, guys. Looking forward to it. Can't wait to get back.
Thanks for coming in, Ram.
Anytime.
Thanks to Jules, and thanks also to Anthony Furci on socials. So don't forget, 5 conversations each week here on ABC AFL Daily, including tomorrow, all the footy shows that set the agenda for the week ahead in the AFL landscape. We'll sit down, we'll watch them all, we'll pick out the best bits, and we'll chop it all up with the favourite son of the West, Bob Murphy, and myself tomorrow on ABC AFL Daily. Catch us then.